This is the Gemini Ransom Effect.
Welcome back to the Gemini Ransom Effect on 107.1 FM, WJBB Radio. You're listening to GRE with Triple D, Devin, David, and DeBose, the insurance doctor and the sports doctor in the house.
Word.
That's it. So before the break, guys, we were doing a little national
Facebook
news.
I like the way y'all are spot on there. And we were talking about Josh Duggar, okay? And, well, I was. You guys were laughing at him.
Yeah.
Like it's some joke or something. So
it's pretty funny.
So anyways, Josh,
funny, actually.
Josh has gone through this rehabilitation, okay, training that they've called it, counseling for his indiscretions that his wife has called it. And, well, he comes out and he stays hidden inside his house for at least 2 or 3 weeks, and, you know, he don't want to show his face. Well, one, he's there at the house, which is weird that they allow him to stay inside the house with all the other kids and everything, especially with the past. And he's got some sisters that not even talking to him still. And then he finally shows up out in public, but he does it all the way in Sevierville, Tennessee.
He has to go all the way to Sevierville, Tennessee to do it?
And he shows up at a mini putt-putt place.
Whoa.
There's plenty of those.
Playing putt-putt golf, him and Jim Bob.
Old Pops,
right? So there's several people that begin to notice who he is and feel uncomfortable that he's there because, you know, they just want to cause a tiff. And with their children and everything. So they start complaining to the managers, trying to find out, you know, what they can do to get him removed. And there is nothing they can do. I mean, he hasn't broken any laws or anything there. So anyways, he's out playing. Apparently, he was up there with the family for some longtime friends of theirs. I don't know if y'all know him, but there's another show out called Growing Up Bates.
I think I've seen that.
That's with their really close friends who are graduating from some homeschool, and two of the children that they have, like 20 children as well, were graduating for high school, so they were all together, which is weird that they would allow him to be there with their sons and daughters. So.
Right.
But, you know, listen, electric shock therapy works.
As proven by all the insane asylums over the past 100 years or so.
Speaking of insane asylum, they're actually, aren't they putting in a new mental hospital here in Monroe?
They are. They definitely are, which is just wonderful.
I think they call it something else, a very lovely term.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
It's Garden Hills Mental Institute.
No, it's health rehabilitation.
Yes.
Health rehabilitation.
We can't say mental. It's not appropriate.
So,
it's offensive language.
I just, you know, I want to say this. This is, if you guys allow me this moment, I want to say this.
Aloud.
To his wife. To Josh's wife, Anna Duggar. Okay? Pack your bags and leave that fool.
Leave that fool.
Leave that man. That gum. He cheated on you with a porn star, stripper, slapped her around. He's not going to get rehabilitated with some electric shock therapy and some counseling, okay? He likes to have sex. Leave the man alone. Leave him. Okay? He likes to see boobs, okay? Leave the man alone, all right? What he did when he was younger was inappropriate. But what he did as an adult didn't break the law. It's just immoral.
There you go.
All right. Anyways, she deserves better. You deserve better, Anna.
I'm sure she's listening.
And if he did any of those things in Atlanta, more than likely has a 1 in 51 chance of having HIV. So be careful.
See where he's been.
That is a very good point. All right.
Has he had any tests lately? That's what we want to know.
Yeah. So what I want to do real quick is, since we're talking about, you know, our children and growing up and, you know, let's talk about how to raise children correctly.
How to get kids from being
tweens to teens
to adults.
Yeah.
Successful adults.
Successful. Yeah. So there are 13 things. So let's talk about these 13 items that all successful parents have in common that they do to make successful children. Okay? So
I'm ready.
And now I would like for each one of you, Professor D included, to
do we take notes?
Keep a tally. Do you do these things in your house? You know, are you raising successful children? Okay. Number one, if I can get to it,
Dude, you're supposed to be ready.
Well, am I supposed to keep a tally of all of these things plus the DB?
Or? No. This is just for you. They make their kids do chores.
Check.
That's number one right there. Check. Number one. If your kids aren't doing the dishes, it means someone else is doing that for them.
Sure.
Okay. And we don't want to be doing that. So they're self-absorbed about their if you're doing the work and everything for them, they're continuously asking you to provide things for them by not making them do it for themselves. That's one of them. All right, number two, they teach their kids social skills. Now this is an important one because researchers from Pennsylvania State University and Duke University tracked more than 700 children from across the U.S. between kindergarten and age 25 and found a significant correlation between their social skills as kindergartners and their success as adults 2 decades later. So we got to teach them young how to be social. So give me an example of how you feel you teach your kids to be social, Jim.
Well, it's from the small things to correcting them when they're talking to an adult and how they answer an adult, or you know, telling them to, when someone's talking to them, to pay attention, looking them in the eye, and you know, just small things like that.
But teaching them also, you know, how to deal with kids their own age,
yeah,
at every step of the age cycle, you know, right. You know how to deal with people when you're 4 and 5 years old, you know, 6 and 7 years old. You know, and how to act and how you're supposed to be. That's what does. Number three is they have high expectations. So that is referring to they have high expectations for how their kids are doing school, their grades.
Yep. Check.
Oh, look, Devin. Yeah, I'm perfect.
Nailed it, I tell you what.
I got all three. Yeah. Okay.
Strike out on the other
Strike
team.
Out.
Yeah, well.
They have healthy relationships with each other. So children in high conflict families, whether inact or divorced, tend to do far worse than children of parents that get along. So families that, and then I've said this many a times, a family that prays together stays together.
Mm-hmm.
So families that are involved with each other and do things with each other, families that, you know, sit around the table and they know how to handle conflict within their own lives, that's how they learn that. So let's see here. Number five, they've attained higher education level. So now this one I might disagree with. Okay, because they're talking about the parents.
Well,
but I think that they continue to grow and learn.
I think it really depends on how you got your higher education. I don't know if it would be specifically for college or or if your higher education came from life experience. I mean,
well, what they're referring to as well is kids that are born to teen moms, so you know, and have a less chance of being a productive member and a successful child, you know, and versus being born to someone who went to college, graduated a 4-year degree, you know, came out, has a successful life. But I also disagree with that too, because most of them work and they just put them in daycare and then the daycare is raising them. So
just because you have a college degree doesn't make you a good parent.
Number six is they teach their kids math early on. Now, I think that's very important.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think that's
We're teaching
a good
Ryan algebra right now, so it's good.
Again, nobody has it like Devin. No, nobody, yeah. Let's see here. Where is they develop a relationship with their kids. So this is important right here because I think Brandy does a really good job of this. She develops a relationship with each one, and it's special for each one.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll come through many a nights, and Dustin's sitting in the office, and they're just talking, you know, or Dylan's in there, and they're just talking, you know, or she does things with just Ashley, or she, you know, sits down and goes in there and plays in the room with Brandon and, you know, does Legos and stuff. I mean, she develops a relationship with each one. So
well, I think it's obviously very important to be involved in each one's life because if you have multiple kids – you know, they're all different in their own ways, and you got to be involved with that.
Yeah. And this is an important one right here. So this is for the parents. This is things that you're doing as parents to raise successful children. Number eight, they're less stressed. Well, what comes with stress most of the time? People correlate that to money. you know?
Right.
The more money I have, the less stress I have. And that's not necessarily
no,
true.
No, not at all.
You got to learn to be happy with where you're at in order for you to ever be successful in anything. So they're less stressed. Okay, but nobody has it like Devin.
Right.
So he'll be stressed this week. Yeah, tonight when we're over at your house, Jim, sitting out on the back porch smoking a cigar, and it's not the cigar lounge.
Is that going to be the FDA-approved cigars?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know if he's going to be able to handle it.
I got somebody bringing us some cigars. Don't worry about that.
Oh, yeah, you got it.
You want Cubans? I'll get you Cubans. No big deal.
Number nine is they value effort over avoiding failure. So I love it. To me, that's huge. That's huge. Show me something. You know, work towards it.
Yeah.
Show me you're dedicated to trying to overcome this obstacle, because that is huge.
Instead of turning and running from it.
That's great. And then let's see here. Where is my next one? 10, the mom's work. Well, I don't necessarily agree with this one. I think it
ultimately depends on what it means by work. I mean, you know, if you have a stay-at-home mom, that's more work than really anything else. I mean, being able to go in and raise a family, take care of the house. I mean, studies go to show, I mean, when you're looking at life insurance and things like that, what does it cost to replace all the things that a mom does? Well, you know, an equivalent pay of what it would cost to take care of all these things is about $80,000. And so if you have a stay-at-home mom, you know, in order to replace that income, or in order to replace that, because if you have a stay-at-home mom and the spouse passes away, somebody's got to take care of that. Somebody's got to go in and replace that. So you're looking at $800,000 of life insurance to replace that income.
And you also got to remember that the value is far greater to have a stay-at-home mom versus not. Just the income that she's going to be bringing.
But that's if you have a stay-at-home mom that is
engaged.
Doing the stay-at-home mom that's involved and things like that. If you have somebody that just sits there and just watches TV all day and doesn't fool the kids and doesn't do anything else.
That's what I do.
That's David.
I like bonbons.
Wii TV and the O and Lifetime.
We have a very unusual situation to where my wife works, but she's a teacher and she's with the kids all day.
And she's involved with
their teachers, and she's involved with, you know, she's friends with their teachers. She sees them all day.
When they're in school, she's in school.
That's right.
Here's something that you guys may find a little difficult to agree with, but 13 things that parents do to have successful children is they have a higher economic status.
I don't disagree. I mean, I don't think that's accurate. I mean,
I think it's
repeat it again.
They have a higher socioeconomic status.
Well, I guess to clarify that, what are they considered high? I mean, what is that?
Well,
is there
one-fifth of American children grow up in poverty?
I mean, if you live in poverty in the end.
Well, of course,
and
of course.
Yeah, the achievement gap between high and low income families is roughly
Conestoga Trailer Park
30% to 40% larger among children born in 2001 than those born 25 years earlier.
Well, I mean, I think in a nutshell, if you have what's necessary to take care of your family, then obviously you put your children in a better opportunity for success versus, you know, not knowing where your next meal's coming from.
Yep. And this is, to me, is important. They are authoritative parents rather than permissive.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So that goes back to the whole concept of, you know, this is my house. You know, these are our rules.
Right.
You know, blah, blah, blah kind of thing versus, oh, I'm sorry, sweetie. Would you like to stay up an extra 10 minutes? You know,
no.
Time to go to bed. It's 9 o'clock.
You know, and the thing about it is I hear a lot of people talk about, you know, that do a lot of these things and have provided plenty of opportunity for, you know, whether they're adults now or kids before or kids now. They've been given every opportunity and everything they need to be successful in life. And at the end of the day, as they get older, it's about their choices, you know, and parents a lot of times hold themselves accountable for, you know, a child that's not doing well or gets addicted to drugs or whatever the case may be. But I mean, at the end of the day, if you're confident about the environment that you provided them and they've made bad choices, that's on them.
Yeah, it is what it is.
I mean, it's on them.
Well, the last one here is they teach grit. They teach grit.
Grits?
Yeah. So they teach.
Or stone milled?
Well,
best.
They teach something that defines them to have a drive to stick with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to not give up, to, you know.
Determination.
Determination. They teach grit.
I'll give you a prime example. I coach travel baseball. And
I coach travel baseball.
All the kids that I have on the team were rec league kids that I've coached, and with the exception of maybe one. And, you know, I mean, recreation baseball, you know, don't get me wrong. I enjoy it, but, you know, they don't keep up with the record. They don't keep up with, you know, standings or anything. And at the end of the season, everybody gets a trophy. Yay. You know, but we were 0-12 or whatever, you know. But the first travel ball tournament we went to, we got our butts handed to us, and we walk away with nothing. And one of the kids came up and said, well, wait a minute, we're leaving. We didn't get our trophy. You know, you got to understand, if you don't do well, if you don't succeed, you don't get anything.
That's right.
You know, so we worked and worked and worked, and we got better each tournament. And this past weekend, we went to a tournament and we won the tournament, went undefeated all day, won the tournament, and every one of the kids got a gold ring. And we got a big, you know, plaque to put on the wall at home. And I can't explain to you how proud they were of those rings. I mean, Monday, we're seeing pictures of them wearing them to school. And, you know, they're sleeping in them. And they're
O'Kell, you know, had his mama bring his to school.
Yeah, man.
Mama, bring my ring up here.
They were so proud of it. I mean, you couldn't tell them anything.
That's awesome.
And it's the thing. The whole point of this thing is there's no... There's no reward like something that you get for what you've earned.
Right.
You know, you've worked hard. Those boys have worked their tails off week in and week out to go and to do well at these tournaments to get one of those rings. And when's the last time you've seen a kid take their rec ball trophy to school because they're so proud of it?
Yep. Right.
They've known all season, no matter what I do, I'm going to get a trophy. You
and
know,
and
so.
the problem with most kids today is that, you know, you have a lot of people that try to do that exact same thing that you have done, Jim, but they're not successful at it. So they go out and get them trophies anyways. You know, to say, well, they worked hard and they deserve to have this. No,
right.
no, they don't, because they didn't accomplish their goal. What truly makes someone have grit is when they stay with something like that for 6-7 years growing up, and they never reach the pinnacle.
Never achieve it.
Never achieve it. You know, there's people that play football professionally, made millions of dollars, never played in the Super Bowl, won a Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
The people that are successful, and I had a conversation with my oldest daughter, and we got into this conversation because my wife
crazy.
Had asked her to clean something up, and she went and she did just enough to get it cleaned and get it done. And I told her, I said, look, I said, that's mediocrity. And you'll always be mediocre if all you do is just enough. You will never be successful in life if you're just doing just enough to get by. You'll always be the person that always just is just, you know, they're just kind of walking. They're not great. They're not terrible. They're just kind of in the middle.
But you know, some people
have that. But to rise above it, you've got to go in. You've got to put that extra effort. Tiger Woods, you're great baseball players. You're great basketball players. You're great football players. You're great business leaders out there. They're always the ones that go above and beyond. They put in the extra effort.
Extra work.
Yeah. You know, for me, I'm the one, I put in the extra time. I mean, I would go in and I would work nights. I would work weekends. I put in everything that I could to go in and build the business that we have.
No.
Whatever, man. It was handed to you on a silver platter.
Yeah, be quiet. Let's go to break.
Shoot. Anyway, yeah, you've been listening to the Gemini Ransom Effect on 107.1 FM WJBB.
This is the Gemini Ransom Effect.